This morning, we're going to be building on what about I spoke on about a couple of weeks ago I spoke about change, and we landed on that sometimes when you try, if it doesn't always work out. It might, if it's a New Year's resolution, it might last a couple of weeks, it might last a couple of days for some, depending on what's left over from the Christmas meal, it might last a couple of hours. And there's all these different things, and so sometimes change doesn't last. And sometimes we try to change, but it comes out of a motive of striving, it comes from out of a motive of I'm trying to prove other people wrong, and it comes out of a place where it's unhealthy. Sometimes it comes from a place where there's desires that what we talked about was in the previous passage where Paul was saying about the flesh, that the flesh is evil. And when we talk about the flesh is evil, it's not about our skin, because our skin's not evil. It holds us together. It's very valuable. It's important. When we're talking about the flesh, it's talking about those evil desires that are opposite to God's view. It's opposite to God's kingdom. It's that flesh, those evil things that perhaps being selfishness, greed, jealousy, envy, it's all those sort of things that when we talk about the evil flesh, it's that evil desires that tempt us and perhaps we gave into, that take us away from God's will. And we bring it back to, we come out of a place and we journey in a place out of identity. And our identity is in Jesus Christ. That is our identity. And so we don't strive out of our own accord, but we work and we journey out of our identity with Jesus Christ. And it's his power and it's his Holy Spirit that as we are journeying with God, as we're listening to his Spirit, as we are bringing things before God and saying, okay, God, what do you think about that? How do you think about that? It's his Holy Spirit that guides us and helps us grow and transforms us as we partner with him to be like his son, Jesus. And when we pray prayers like, God, would you change me? Would you transform my heart? He loves those prayers because he wants us to be more like him. And he sees the heart. And so it's the condition of the heart, changing the state of the heart, keeping a soft heart. Does that make sense? And so we landed there. And so we're going to be building on that. And so we ended up talking about just taking a step. Because we joked about sometimes people just say, I'm just taking a step of faith, I'm just taking a step of faith, and they never take a step of faith, but they're always talking about it. So we talked about, in Romans, we were talking about when Paul was just like, just take one step, walk with the Holy Spirit, let him guide you, lead you, just take a step. We're going to take that out, we're going to build on that, a next step. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, and it says this: Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, I do not box as one is beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified. And we'll read Galatians 6. I'm going to just read Galatians 6 now while it's in my head, and we'll come back to switch between both. Galatians 6. 7 to 10 says, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. We will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul writing it into the Corinthians churches, they would have known exactly what he was talking about. As you know, Greece, the Olympics, where all the athletes came, and we still have it. But they also had the I need to pronounce it right, the Isthmian Games. You can look it up, where it was just for the Greeks, and they held it every 4 years as well, opposite. So they had these two competitive games, and so they knew that what Paul was talking about athlete, about race, about training, we know that as well, because we watch it time and time again. You hear stories, and you see people, and we cheer people on when they go through all this. Did you know back then that some of you poetic people, that poetry was an athletic sport? That singing was an athletic sport. But you think, was it just a song? Apparently, some of these poetic readings or dramatizations, or singing, sometimes they lasted hours. And one of the occasions that was described was Nero entered these games. Funny enough, through bribery, intimidation, and you name it, he won every single event that he entered. It was renowned. It was said that when he was singing one of his songs, apparently it was so long, the women gave birth. Apparently, it was so boring that he wouldn't let anyone leave the arena where he was singing, and so some people jumped off the battlements to fake their death, to be carried out by the guards. Apparently, it was tedious, and there's a guy. I should have put his name on the slide, but Suetonius, a Roman historian from that time, described Nero's voice as weak and husky. And so Nero won every single prize through cheating, corruption, and for that. It's interesting, isn't it, that still to this day, what we, or sometimes people, gain means by evil desires about things, but actually what we sow is often what we reap. And there's that mindset of trying, but when we sometimes try, I don't know about you, but trying, it's a little bit half-hearted. I'll try and do something. Normally, when I say I try, although I might seem to have the best intentions, the commitment isn't there. Things fall through the gap. The dedication isn't there. Things get in the way, and so you know, I might try and help someone out. I might try and do something creative. I might try and start something, and some things just never fall through. And have you ever had that in your life? And you ever met people who they're trying stuff, but life just gets in the way? So although you're trying, the commitment isn't there, potentially. The effort isn't there, and so it slips through. And so it's changing that mindset from, I'm not trying, but I'm training. And it also shifts your identity. Why does it shift your identity? Because when we try, we're often trying to be something that we're not, or something that we haven't become. And where I'm going with training is that training is a mindset of, actually, I'm already that, and I'm training to become more of what I am. So in God, I'm already forgiven. I have the battles with the enemy saying, you're not forgiven, you did this, you did this. I'm in training with the Holy Spirit working me to say no and bring them under control and bring them under the kingdom of God and say, actually, I am forgiven. Because my identity is not in what I've done, my identity is in God. So I'm training my mind to use the God's word in order to journey, and I might muck up, I might make a mistake, but I'm in training. Same thing, whether it's marriages or friendships, I'm just trying to I'm trying to develop good friendships. I'm trying to keep friendship, and it's there. But after a while, whether it's selfishness or things just collapse, and the friendships don't last, the marriages don't last, and the same problems just keep going over and over again. And we keep saying, "We'll just try to be different. I'm working on it." But we set ourselves up for failure because we're trying to, because it's coming out of that striving. It's coming out of that we're trying to change, but we don't, if we're really honest, sometimes we don't want to change. But we know we need to. And we have that battle sometimes. But it's that saying, "God, I know I'm not perfect, but you're training me. You're my King, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. You've given me stuff that I do not deserve. You've given me life that's eternal. So I'm not trying to try and obtain stuff that will perish when I pass away. I'm in training for stuff, and I'm in training to be like you, to follow what you're saying. I'm in training to hear your voice. I'm in training to become more like you, to imitate you. I'm in training because I want to be who you've called me to be. I want to walk in what you've called me to walk in." So I'm having that mindset of, I might be an amateur, but with God's grace, I might get up to semi-pro. Might not make it all the full, but I'm having that mindset of, I'm in it, and I'm not doing it half-heartedly. I'm in it because I want to win the prize. I want to finish strong. Can we have the next slide? I did the London Marathon. I did it. Yeah. I don't look quite tired there, but I was absolutely exhausted. That's literally absolutely exhausted. But it was just one day, I just thought, do you know what? I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to do it. The entry, it said London Marathon, entry is open. And I thought, I'm just going to do it. Why not? I want to set myself a challenge. I'm going for it. So I went to the charity. I thought, if I get in, it all comes from a ballot, you're not guaranteed it, and your name gets pulled out. And God's got a sense of humour, and my name got pulled out. And so I am built for sprinting. I could do the 100 metres in 10 and a half seconds when I was younger. I wasn't built for long distances. I hadn't done running, so I thought, okay, I need to get into that mindset. And so I didn't start running a marathon right from the get-go. I set myself a target. I thought, every single week I'm going to add on a mile until I get to 25 miles. So the first week, the first run, I ran half and I walked half. Thinking, I've got this, it's only a mile, no problem. But my roads, this is me down to T. If I'm going to do something, I do something to the extreme. So my road in Chelmsford, it's on a bit of a hill. So I thought, I'm not going to find somewhere that's flat. I want to run up and down a hill because then that'll make it, in my mindset, that'll make it easier when it's nice and, I say nice and flat for the marathon, but there's some hills. But my mindset is, I want to just go up and down, just up and down, build up my stamina, build up my energy. And so I thought, I've got this. I did. I walked half of it. But what I noticed was that even though I went out three times a week, I said, I'm going to go running three times a week. I'm going to run one day, have a rest day. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday would be my running days. Saturday, Sunday would be my rest days. And then continue, and then go. And every single week, I'd add on a mile. But by the Friday, I could run that mile no problem. I had to change what I was eating. Even though I wanted some things, I had to change what I was eating. I had to get the mindset was, I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to do that. Is my mindset, no, I can't eat that because I'm in training. I can't do that just because I've run that. So the next week was 2 miles, and this gradually built up over time. And in 10 weeks, I hit the 10 mile mark, and I was flying, and it was going well. And then after the 10-week, because a lot of where we are, the pavement is not flat, it's at an angle, things like this. It was a bit wet and I slipped and I twisted my ankle. And so that put me out of running. I couldn't run on my ankle for probably about 4 or 5 weeks. And so that put us all the way back. So you have a choice when you're in training. And sometimes in life, we go through stuff and we do things bit by bit by bit, and then something happens and there's that temptation of, do I just give up? Am I really built for this? In my mind, I knew I could do it. But there's this, am I cut out for this? Can I do this? But I made a commitment. And I told everyone that I was going to do it, so I couldn't back out. If you go do something, tell everyone that that holds you accountable. I told the youth group at the time. I even said to them, if you want, you can donate money, and the money that you donate, it means that you can go. Here's my Spotify playlist, and you can put whatever songs you want onto that playlist, and I'll listen to them as I'm running around. There are some interesting songs. There was one or two I was like, no, I'm not listening to that. I have to skip that. But there's some funny songs that was crazy. So I got people involved. I made myself accountable. I made a commitment, and I got through injury and things like that. I built up to about 15 miles before it was time to run. And on the day, I felt good. I felt good. It was okay, and I was running. And the first 10 miles were fine. Hit the 11th mile. And I have a problem with knee injuries because of sport and football. Because I had a battle with a couple of people from our football teams. They hated me. I hated them at the time. And this is back in the day where you could tackle from behind. You could do flying kicks. You could do all that sort of stuff and not get sent off. And some of the tackles that I gave him and he gave me were brutal. Some people walk into the room and you're naturally allergic to them. You ever had that? When I was that age, there was this guy, we just naturally allergic, and so I have some injuries through that, and plus I had Osgood's Slater disease in my knees and things like that, so it wasn't helping. So it was just a combination of that and my tennis and sport, and my knees just didn't cope. So my left knee goes. And so even though I've got the straps on my knees, I'm going around, my left knee goes, so I thought, okay, let's see what I can do. Can I do a mile running and a mile walking? And so I'm carrying on and I'm doing that. I get to the 12th mile and my right knee goes. And so I'm there and I'm thinking, do I give up or should I just keep going? So I thought, do you know what? I'm here, I'm gonna finish it. I might have to walk it, but I'm going to finish it. And so literally, I was walking. I was like one of those zombie films, walking. But then another thing went wrong, my anti-blister socks, absolute piece of junk. By the 13th mile, I started getting blisters on, even though I used these socks for all the training, I started getting blisters on my feet. And so literally, I had to change the weight from one foot to the other. So I thought, I was like, okay, I'm going to put 1 mile, I'm going to just use, this is going to be my main foot, then the next mile, this is going to be my main foot, and I'm just going to alternate it. And so I was like this, next mile, I was like this. And the first day people, they don't come out and help until you go to them. And I thought, I'm not going to go to them, I'm just going to keep on going. So I tell you what, I was a sight. I was a sight, but I had my headphones in, listening to some music, I had some... I had a pack on, so I had kind of those energy gel things that you can have, and so I was going around. And when I was running, the wombles overtook me. Bagpuss overtook me. A guy carrying a fridge overtook me. It was a small fridge, but still, he was like this. And he was walking, and I was like, all right, and he was like, all right. He overtook me. He must have been in his 80s. I could hear singing from behind me, and I was like, why can I hear karaoke? And normally there's music going around or everywhere you go, but there's a man singing karaoke, and I was like, where's that coming from? And there's this 80, he must have been in his 80s, and he had he had four speakers, one there, one there, on a strap, and two on the back. And he had this like CD disco thing here that must have been running on batteries, and a battery thing on the back, with a microphone coming out. And as he's passing me, he's singing he's singing Bon Jovi as he's running past, and he's singing to the crowd, and the crowds are loving it. And I'm thinking, how have you got energy to be singing and carrying speakers and running at the same time? But there was this element of, I'm not giving up. And then the claim to fame, as we get to the last, when you get to the mile, as you go up, I'm turning the corner, and I can see the camera cone, and I'm thinking, am I going to be on TV? Even though it's like 6 hours after, am I going to get a glimpse? And I can see the cameraman pointing, turning around, and I was like, great, I'm going to give everyone a big wave. As I give everyone a big wave, this guy in a crocodile suit overtakes me, and the cameraman... helps put my ego in check, doesn't it? At the end of it, absolutely exhausted, but it was worth it. And there was so much, but there was this moment of, when you're in it, you got to persevere. There, for some of you who perhaps aren't getting it, there's a not quite famous philosopher, Ricky Bobby, who says, if you ain't first, you're last. And there's another philosopher, next one, Epictetus, who said this about the Isthmian game. He said, if you withdraw without sufficient reason, you'll be whipped, and this whipping comes after your training, which involves thirst and boiling heat and swallowing of handfuls of sand. That gives you motivation to, okay, I'm not going to pull out. Because he was basically saying, if you go do it, don't be half-hearted. Don't try something and then just, when the going gets tough, just give up. If you're going to do it, if you're going to train, do it as if it means something. Is it valuable? It's got to cost. I wonder, with our journeys with God and our walk with God, are all of our lives fully surrendered and fully committed? There's all stuff in our lives that we're working on, and there's all stuff in our lives that we're falling. We're trying to do. We're trying to be better. Because we're coming out of that, I'm trying, but failing. But there's that emphasis of actually, we need to go back, change that mindset on, I'm in training because my identity is in Jesus. And it comes back, and there's this changing the game plan, change your strategy. Because if you're not liking what you're reaping, you need to change your seed that you're sowing. You can't expect to sow a seed and get something else. So if things aren't quite working out, if you're going into, we've all been in other previous workplaces, and someone's come in and they're always angry, they're always moody, they're always complaining, and as soon as they walk through the door, it changes the atmosphere, doesn't it? The seed is sown, and you almost dread them coming in because you know what it's going to be like. They have sown a seed, and then they're reaping what they have sown. In the same way, we do that. If we go into a room, if we go into a situation, and our mindset in a certain thing, we are sowing that seed, and what we get back from the room. If we go in and just be rude, we walk into a situation, and we're just rude to people, we're arrogant to people, we rub people up the wrong way, it's not a surprise we go get that back. You can't expect to go into a situation and act in a certain way, say certain things, and expect a totally different result unless the person on the other end is in training and they're being a bit more gracious and a bit more loving. Because if you go into a situation and you say, I'm just having a bad day, and you just let everyone have it, and someone else is just like, I'm not standing for it, and they're in training, and they have a down moment, and next thing you know, you're both at loggerheads. Over what? If you're not liking what you're reaping, change the seed that you're sowing. Because it's one of the guaranteed things is that what you sow, you'll get back. So if I sow wheat, I'm going to get wheat back. It's not going to change. It's not going to change into barley. It'll be what I've sown. First rule. Second rule, whatever you sow gets multiplied. Every seed that you sow isn't designed to give you one seed back. It's designed for multiple. It's to grow. Everything is designed in this world to multiply. So from that one crop, next year you might be able to get 100-fold, depending on the size, how many seeds you get through, how many generally, but you're going to get a bigger crop. And from that, you're going to get a bigger crop. And if you're acting a certain way, if you're behaving a certain way, over time, what started off as one comment, I'm just frustrated. If you go into work for a year, 2 years, 3 years, frustrated, angry, bitterness, resentful, you go into your family life, you do all go into friendships, and you're arrogant, you're selfish, you use people, you hurt people, and every single nobody wants to call you, nobody wants to hang out. It's because you're sowing bad seeds. An example of good seeds. I've never seen so many people get as many high fives as Lee does. When Lee walks into a room, he automatically goes, high five, how are you doing? He'll do a little giggle. you know that little giggle he does? But he's like, high five. He's like, come on, high five. I've never seen so many people get so many high fives during the week. Why? He sows a seed. I wonder, if you want people to give you a high five or to be smiling or to be encouraging, we have to... So let's see, if we're constantly negative towards people and bringing people down, it's going to come back. If we criticize people, criticism is going to come back our way. Why? Because we're sowing that seed and we're teaching our people to criticize and to criticize us. And the third rule is that whatever we sow, we don't reap straight away. You might not get it back straight away. You always have to wait a period of time before you get that crop back. But I guarantee, whatever you constantly sow, you might not see it instantly, but down the line, you're going to see it come back and it's going to be multiplied. And so, when we think about changing, it's thinking about, if I'm going to run... If I'm going to walk with God, I need to make some small, it's not huge changes. You often find that if you make small, intentional changes that are intentional and you act upon them, you might not see the results in a week's time. If I go to the gym and do an hour session, I'm not going to walk out seeing the results apart from me being totally exhausted. But if I do that over a period of time, 6 months down the line, a year down the line, there's going to be a significant change. And so we have to look at ourselves and say, what are we training ourselves? How are we living? What seed are we sowing? Because what we're in training for? What are you in training for? What are you reaping at this moment in time? Because I've never met someone who, if I said to them, how did your relationship with God become so amazing, good? How could you hear his voice so clearly? I've never had someone say to me, well, James, you know, I was sinning and I was having a good time, so to speak, I was doing what I want, and then all of a sudden, God just came, and I just feel his presence all the time. I hear his voice so clearly. I haven't had to do anything. It just naturally happens. I've never met someone who said that. Every single person who I've gone, do you know what, I wish I could hear God's voice like you do. I wish I could get the words of knowledge you do. All those things that you look at people and go, wow, and you've asked them, it's like, how did you get to where you are? They've always said, well, do you know, it's taken years. It's taken my quiet time with God years over time to quietly listen to his voice and to gauge his spirit. But I've kept up with my Bible study bit by bit. I've kept speaking to God. I've kept trying listening to God. I've had to sacrifice my time and the things that I wanted to do in order, but it's taken time. And some of the things that we want to become, some of the people who we admire and want to become, unfortunately, this world teaches it's instant. You can be like it just like that. You just do this, and there's so people trying to do so many short, quick fixes. It doesn't work like that. It takes time. It takes time. And so, what are some small things that we can change right now? Because if we become successful the moment we start making the small changes today that enable us to achieve more tomorrow. Through God's help and through his Holy Spirit, if we make the changes today, it will help us to do more tomorrow. You know, same with running. If I make small steps now, if I start walking now, in a year's time, I might be able to do a marathon. My knees would not do it. My knees, unless it's a miracle, and God, I know both my knees will go, I'll probably have to walk a marathon in a year, but I can do it. But it's that mindset of, what changes can I do now? Even if it's a slightly small change, don't think of the big change. What are some small changes that you can do now that you'll see a harvest in 6 months' time, a year's time, 2 years' time? Small, intentional, consistent changes. And it might be the case of, do you know, with family life and with work and things like that, I'm just exhausted, there's no time to read the Bible. Can I just encourage you, if you've got a commute, there's the Bible on YouTube. There's Bible apps. There's YouVersion. There's other things that you can download and you can listen. Whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, I'm just going to listen to the Bible and just let that, and then I'm going to ponder about what that passage speaks to me. I'm not going to jump from this passage to passage. I'm not going to be spirit. I don't mean it's nasty, but the majority of people who know the Spirit just leads my Bible study. That's great, but what I often hear from people who do that is that they just read the same bits over and over again. And they don't get the wider spectrum. And so there's perhaps a challenge of saying, okay, I'm going to go through this book, and then I'm going to go through this book, and I'm going to go through this book. And so with myself, to help with the pondering, when it's just me coming into the church or when I'm going somewhere, I've just stuck it on a USB stick because it's easier. I bought a Bible, downloaded it, and it's just in the USB stick. So when I'm driving, I have the Bible just playing. And so even though I might not hear all of it because you're concentrating and things, so you might miss a bit, I'm still hearing it. It's coming in. So when you can focus, you're constantly having drip feeding. And so you're getting parts of it. For those of you who struggle to perhaps think, okay, well, I've got time, I've got my Bible, but reading it, it's hard work. What can I do to change it? Can I just encourage you to interact with your Bible? If your Bible is too precious to pick up and to read, then buy a new Bible. Keep that Bible, stick it on the shelf, but buy a new Bible. And the reason why I say that is because get a Bible that you can interact with. And what I mean by interact with, that whether you've got 5 minutes or 10 minutes, so I've got a Bible that there's different ways I interact. And so I've got a different colour scheme. And so when I read it bit by bit, I only really highlight in yellow. Yellow is the kingdom, is the manifestation of the kingdom. And so I highlight different colours. So blue is, I've got three different shades of blue. One for God, one for when he speaks, one for his commands. Yellow is for the manifestation of his kingdom. Green is for traffic light, go. When I read something, this is what I need to do. This is what a discipleship looks like. This is what leadership looks like. I don't highlight, I use a box system around the outside. So it means you can then go in, and then if you want to make another box around the outside, or if you want to underline something, you can do. Because if you just highlight the whole page, you then can't go back over it. Does that make sense? And so I do a box system, and sometimes I underline, I draw a circle around a word and around another word if it's an ongoing theme. So in John, where it says, the disciples believed and followed, there's like green circles around it about what does a disciple look like? It's a disciple is someone who follows. And so you can see, so just by looking, you can interact, because I just used to use a blue bar and just underline everything, but when you go back, you're just like, I have no idea what that means. Anyone else do that? And so, orange for me is warning. You shouldn't be careful. Don't go down this road. Red is for, I've named it my red as, you've done it now. I told you so. And it's like, so when you've done something wrong, it's like God's wrath, God's judgment, God's like, this is the punishment. You've done something wrong, so this is God's punishment. There's grey for any town names, for people's names. There's, I don't know, there's gold. I've got this gold colour that's for praise and worship and thanksgiving. And so when I'm looking through the Bible, I'm doing box systems, say, okay, that is praise, that is worship. I've got a teal colour because it's our questions to God. So when someone's got a question to God, so where's the woman at the well? Because it's that discipleship and God's, that's why it's the teal, because that's the blue, it's my hand, my mind, it's that blue-green. It's that, when she goes, well, what do you mean? Well, it's, well, how does that mean? So I do that with a teal because it's a question. And so you might want to create your own colour system. So when you're interacting with your Bible, you can underscore, you can create a box. And if you really don't want to write in your Bible, that's fine. Get another notepad, a cheap notepad, and just do one John 1 and then write the word and take, this is a leadership point, this is, and do it that way. Do something that helps you to interact with your Bible. Because also, I just don't do that. There's part of me I like to know what individual words mean. Because you know when someone says, oh, this word in the Greek means so and so and so and so. I know that there's many people out there, they say a word means something and it doesn't. And I know that because there's loads of apps. I normally use Bible Hub, and you can click on it, you can do interlinear, and you can click on the word, and it will tell you what it means. It'll tell you what the Greek or the Hebrew word means, and so you then go down, and then you find, and then you can read it in the context. Because what some people do, it says, this word means this, but it's out of the context of the passage. Does that make sense? And so they lead people down astray, whether it's word of faith, whether it's prosperity gospel. And so I got kindly given a whole load of these different books, and it's just an individual book, and this one's John, the same thing. But I've stuck pages inside, I've sellotaped them in, because I've underlined the word, and then I've wrote down in briefly what that word means. Even though it's on the app, it means that when I open this up, and so I've got, hello. So I opened it up, and basically over time, this is just going to be filled up. Notice it's not all done because I'm taking my time. I'm not rushing it. It's not a project. It's not something I need to get this done. To look how good I am. This is like, God, I want to know what that word means. I want to know fully what your word says, because actually I want to know fully everything that you've said. I don't want to be deceived. And so when people wherever I'm at a conference or something, as soon as someone says, this word means so-and-so, I'm like, right, is it? Because I want to know. I want to... Oh, no, that's my... colour system. Creating times of prayer, creating moments of worship where it's just by yourself. There's loads of different Christian radios out there, but there's, I normally listen to Air One, or there's, it's the same organization, they've got loads, but there's just different styles. There's Air One and there's K-Love, and you can get them on your phone, you can get them on, and it's just listening to a Christian radio, different worship songs, different styles. And so whether it's driving in or whether I'm cleaning the coffee machines or doing something, it's playing on my phone in the background. So people often know where I am because they can hear the music going around. It's different moments of saying, okay, God, I'm sowing a seed because this is my worship to you. This is my journeying with you. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to hear. I know someone who wanted to learn how to hear God's voice. And they tell a story of, they turned up to work. They got a list of places where they had to visit. And they didn't know the area. And so they didn't take their car. And they walked out of the building and said, God, I don't know where these are. You're going to have to direct me. Took them a little time, but they got to every single address on that list because I said, I just want to be intentional. I just want to hear God's voice. I need to learn God's voice. And so they jumped right in the deep end. Can you imagine for your workplace, you have to visit all these places today and you don't take a car and you walk. That's bold. But I wonder, what are some small things that you can do? I wonder, are there some small things, whether in your relationships that you can change, whether in the marriages marriages need to get better, perhaps are there seeds in our marriages and in our friendships and our relationships, actually, I need to change the seed that I'm sowing. Perhaps I'm being a bit too arrogant, I'm being a bit, perhaps I'm argumentative, I might be tired, but I'm angry, Perhaps we need to say, do you know what, I just need to ask forgiveness more because I know I make mistakes, but I need to ask forgiveness from my family more. What are some of the things that God is wanting to speak to you about, wanting to transform your life while you're in training to become more like him? Because Galatians 6 says, if you don't give up, you will reap a harvest. You will reap a harvest with God's help, empowering you, working through it, and it will be his glory. And all the harvest that we get, it's glory back to God. You know what? It'll be, God, you did that. You changed that circumstances. You saved my relationship with my family, with my son, with my daughter, with my wife. My marriage was hanging by a tether, but you saved it. You turned it around. You helped me change the seed that I was sowing. And you changed my mindset. I am in training. We change our identity off of the things that we've done wrong to our identity is in, I am a child of God. I am set free. I am redeemed. I am restored. I am his. I am adopted. I am loved. I am not rejected. I am not an orphan. It doesn't matter that your parents might have been bad parents, but what's more importantly, that God wanted you here on this earth at this moment, in this time. He wanted you. That is the most important thing. You are valued and you are cared for and he loves you and he wants you to be in relationship with him. It doesn't matter what, there's a lot of stuff that we have to deal with, a lot of junk that we have to deal with, but he'll help you get through it. It will help you overcome the trauma. He'll help you get through the heartache and the pain and the disappointment and the fears and the worries and the anxiety, all that stuff. He will help you with his spirit every single moment or every single day. He will help you and he will guide you. But there's a choice that we have to make with the small, intentional, daily choices. God, what do you think about that? God, did I really muck up then? Okay. Kick up a spiritual kick up the backside. I'll go and apologize. I need to be more forgiving. I need to be more loving. I need to be more caring. I need to be more gracious. I need to be more kind. I need to build people up instead of tearing them down. I need to let things go. I need to let my past go. I need to change my heart. I need to take my barriers down and let your grace and mercy and love just come in. Because some of you, you know the love of God in your head, but your barriers, because you're worried that he's going to hurt and abuse, just like he won't. Let your barriers down, let him in. You will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come into this moment, and God, we pray, Lord, where you know where all of us are at. You know our character from the inside out. Nothing is hidden from you. God, I pray as we're here, may we bring everything into the light. God, we confess that sometimes we're angry. There's jealousy, heartache, pain. There's bitterness. There's no self-control. God, we just bring before you all the stuff, all our sin, all our evil desires of the flesh, and we just bring them before you now and say, God, would you forgive us? And God, I pray, may every single person in this room, may they know a fresh cleansing of your Holy Spirit, that they are clean, that they are forgiven, that they are whole. Jesus, we pray. Would you change our mindsets from trying to be perfect, trying to live up to people's expectations? Can we change our identity? Help us put our identity in you. Jesus, would you clothe us in garments of righteousness? Would your grace and your love be abounding and overflowing? May we know the depth of your love down to our innermost being. Jesus, as we wait for you, as we're here, Holy Spirit, come. Transform. God, would you lift up all the burdens, all the shackles that have held us back? Would we know true freedom? The true freedom of your kingdom. God, where there's been heartache and pain and disappointment, where there's been tears, as you transform our lives, God, I pray, Lord, would you turn those cheers into joy? Our hardened hearts into hearts of gratitude and laughter. May our praise be rejoicing. And may we always come before you with an attitude of thankfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.